episode 115, day 129 here in the Zen Room. My name is Patrick Finn, and I am here with the cosmopolitan Tommy Gibbons.
Hi, bitches.
And how are you tonight, Tommy?
I can't believe it's 129 already.
129, right?
That's crazy.
Just about a third of the year.
That's crazy.
Actually, over the third of the year.
It's true, though, that the days go slow, but the years go fast.
I don't know. The days have been going pretty fast, too, for us. We've been very busy, so.
Well, that helps, I suppose.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're so busy. You're so fancy.
Well, because we're busy working at the theater, so we just closed the play Small Mouse Sounds.
All right. And how'd that go?
Okay, we had small houses, but the audiences that came really enjoyed it, so was a good thing.
All right, nice.
Yeah, and then we're getting ready for this weekend, because we have auditions for the musical Reefer Madness at South Shore Theater Experience.
And when does Reefer Madness open?
That'll be opening on July 12th.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, a little over 2 months away.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah. It's a big undertaking.
Yeah, it is a big undertaking. Any musical is.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely.
They're all hard.
Right?
Musicals are all hard.
Yep. And there's a lot more music in it than we realized also. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we got our work cut out.
I'm doing Clue with the kids.
That's right. I forgot about that.
We're talking, I got today access to the tracks.
Yeah.
Between the music in the show.
Okay.
And the sound effects. Now, the tracks are very convenient. This is a play. 59, and some of them, they're like 52.2, 52.3, 52, okay? There are 59 separate sound cues.
Oh, my God.
For the play.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Jesus.
It's all integral. Like, every time the doorbell rings, they all have to face the front.
Yeah.
Every time the doorbell rings, you all look at the front. Every time the doorbell rings, you all look at the front. Every single time. Oh, so, you know what I mean? And it's there's more gasping in this show than in, like, an emphysema ward. But it's very silly. But, yeah, it's fucking a lot. It's a lot. They're hard.
It's a lot. I mean, when I directed Times Square Angel, we had 26 separate sound cues. I thought that was a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But over 50, that's even worse. My God. All right, so I guess we'll move on then into our first segment of the night. Let's bring on lesbians.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yes, you are. Yes, welcome to Heavy Petting.
That was more than petting.
Maybe it was.
All right, so what are we talking about?
Anyway, just a bit of news that I read about. And this is basically a story of why you should not let your dog eat anything that you find on the street while you're walking it.
Yeah, there's a to be followed by part two, good luck trying to get it out of its mouth. But go ahead, tell me the story.
Well, in Lehigh, Pennsylvania, the Lehigh Valley Nature Center put out a warning after a hunter discovered dog treats inserted with fish hooks on a stretch of the Appalachian Trail.
Well, that's just somebody being a dick.
Yeah, that really is. I was like, I read that. I was like, who the fuck does that?
It's like the Tylenol thing.
Yeah, you know, what manner of speaking, yeah. But you're doing this to dogs. I mean, come on.
Well, people don't like dogs.
Obviously not. You do that to them, for God's sake.
No, I mean, people take them and they shoot them.
Well, we already know about that.
They write about it in books.
We'll be talking about her later again.
Stupid woman.
But yeah, you should never let your dog eat anything on the street or while you're out walking the dog anywhere. Just don't do it.
And good luck trying to stop it when it starts.
I know. But hopefully you'll see it before the dog does.
Yeah. There was something about a guy walked a dog, and one day the dog found a pie in a bush. That's the story. The dog finds a pie in the bush, so now he can never walk by the bush without... They can never walk without he inspects the magical pie bush.
Okay.
And that's... Where they find something, they're going to keep returning to that spot.
Fair enough, yep.
Yeah, so good luck. Good luck to you.
So that was it in dog news this week.
Yeah, don't let your dog eat shit.
Yes. So we now move on to our Dictionary of Dogs, our canine compendium. We are up to the letter G.
Okay. You got your German Shepherds.
Yeah, but it's not that.
You got your German Short Hair Pointers.
No, it's not that.
You got your Guam Aquadog.
Your Guam Aquadog.
Yeah.
Never heard of that one.
Yeah, it was a Guam.
I guess so. By the water?
Yeah. Well, everything in Guam is by the water.
I guess so. Yeah, it's an island.
G, huh?
Yeah. I'll just tell you, it's called the Gaucho Sheepdog.
A Gaucho Sheepdog.
Yes.
That sounds sexy.
It originated in the Pampas region of Brazil.
It sounds sexy every time you say something about it.
And here's a picture of it.
In Brazil. Oh, he's cute.
Right? Here's another picture.
Yeah, okay.
Aren't they good-looking dogs?
Yeah, from Brazil.
Yep. But it's 22 to 26 inches tall, weighs between 44 and 77 pounds. The coats are of a varying length. The colors also vary.
Okay.
Has a life expectancy of 13 to 15 years.
Yeah.
Like most other dogs. It is widely used for herding sheep and other livestock.
That's why they call it a sheepdog.
Yes, exactly. It's not known to be aggressive. They're seen as good watchdogs since they're alert to strange noises. Mm-hmm. Although they seldom attack intruders. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They are smart dogs. They learn commands quickly. Mm-hmm. And they're known to coexist happily with humans as they are very docile and friendly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the story. Look at this little guy.
That
little puppy? Yep.
Of the same dog?
Yeah.
That don't look like the same dog to me.
I guess it is. I'm saying it's a Gaucho dog. I don't know if that's one.
That don't look like it either.
No.
Anyway. The Gaucho Sheepdog.
The Gaucho Sheepdog from
nice
Brazil.
Guy. Yeah. Speaks Portuguese.
Yes. So we'll move on then to our next segment.
Happy birthday. Many happy returns. A very happy birthday.
Yes, it's time for today's birthdays. And today on our birthday list, it's the birthday of a U.S. president.
Uh-oh.
It's the 33rd U.S. president.
Is that, let's see, 33.
He was born on May 8th, 1884.
I'm going to go with...
born in Missouri.
Wilson.
No. He was a U.S. senator from 1935 to 45, when he then served as vice president.
In 1945, he was vice president?
Yep.
That was with FDR, right?
Yeah, that's correct. He then became president upon FDR's death.
Wilson.
That's not Wilson. Woodrow Wilson was president during World War I.
Not Woodrow Wilson. The other Wilson.
There is no other president named Wilson.
Woodrow.
That's the one I just mentioned.
Well, who's this guy you're talking about then?
His name is Harry S. Truman.
Harry Truman.
Very different name from Wilson.
Yeah. Truman. Truman.
Truman.
Truman. Harry Truman. How do we feel about him?
Well, he's best known for authorizing the first and only use of nuclear weapons during World War II against the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which led to Japan's surrender and the total end of World War II.
Yeah.
He also oversaw the Berlin Airlift and Marshall Plan in 1948 and led the U.S. during the Korean War of 1950 to 1953.
So he's a war guy.
Yes. In 1948, he proposed to Congress that passed comprehensive civil rights legislation, but Congress refused. So we issued two executive orders which prohibited discrimination in federal agencies and desegregated the U.S. armed forces.
Wow.
Yep. And he died at age 88 from multi-organ failure.
Okay.
In 1972.
That's good. Everybody all got together and decided, all the organs, they all got together and decided, you know what?
Let's fail all at once.
I'm thinking, fuck this. Anybody with me? Let's just get the hell out of here.
But that's not the only birthday we're observing today.
It's not, as though Harry Truman's birthday wouldn't have been enough by itself.
I know, but this one, you may know, he was born on May 8th, 1920 in Finland.
Oh.
His name was Tuukko Valio Laaksonen.
No, I never met him.
He was born and raised in Finland. In his teens, he started drawing erotic images of laborers.
Uh-oh.
He later served in the army.
Oh, is this Tom?
This is Tom of Finland. Very good.
His birthday too, huh?
He later served in the Finnish army in the 1940 Winter War against the Soviet Union. And he later became controversial for making erotic drawings of Nazis because he thought that they had the sexiest uniforms.
Nice, yeah.
But in 1956, he submitted his drawings to the U.S. magazine Physique Pictorial and later in other quote-unquote physical fitness magazines.
Yeah.
As that's what they were called because gay pornography was illegal back then.
Yeah, right.
And then after it was declared not obscene in 1962, his drawings became more explicit and exaggerated men's physical features.
Yeah. Good thighs in Tom of Finland.
Yep. In 1979, he formed the Tom of Finland Company to protect the copyright on his works. And in 1995, he introduced a fashion line based on his works.
Okay.
He was inducted into the Leather Hall of Fame in 2009.
I was going to say, like, Tom of Finland, the fashion line.
Yes.
If you want to, I'm saying, is that more like stuff you get at, like, the cowboy store or the...
Probably.
The army surplus.
Yep, or the leather store.
Okay. I mean, what kind of chaps did he make that was so much better than any other chap that's ever been made?
They were Tom of Finland.
Exactly, I suppose.
His name, it was the brand,
huh?
You know? You can say you have Tom of Finland, leather jock, you know?
Okay. All right. I suppose that's a stupid question because it's the same thing with everything.
Yes.
You know, it's not just a handbag, it's a Chanel. I get it.
But he died in 1991 of an emphysema-induced stroke.
Okay.
He had a life partner named Veli McKinnon, with whom he shared his life for 28 years until the partner's death in 1981.
Wow. So yeah. He was alone for all that time.
Yes.
Wow.
So, that's the story of Tom of Finland.
He was probably rich so far.
I'm sure he did reasonably well.
I mean, he had his own fashion line. You get your own Tom of Finland leather jock strap, like you said.
Well, anyway, to Tom of Finland and to Harry S. Truman, we say... Happy birthday, guys.
Yeah, the two of you probably having a big old yuck.
We now move on to our next segment. Bring out your dead. Yes, it's time for Bring Out Your Dead.
Who died?
Well, we only have one death this week. It was a British actor named Bernard Hill.
Bernard?
Bernard.
Not Bernard?
I'm sure he pronounced it Bernard.
Is it Bernard?
It's more, we would say Bernard.
Okay. Bernard.
Yes.
Bernard Hill.
He was best known for playing the captain of the Titanic in the film Titanic.
Oh.
And he was also known for playing the King Theoden in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, I never saw them. And I'm not so sure I saw, though I think I did, the Titanic.
I'm sure you did. Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything to me. I remember scenes from it. I remember, like, some of the visuals. But okay. That could be just because it was so ubiquitous for so long.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, go ahead. What are we talking about?
Well, here's a clip of Bernard Hill from...
Bernard and Bernie. Can we call him Bernie? Let me see.
The film The Two Towers.
Okay. That's him?
Yes.
He's no Bernie.
The horn of Helm Hammerhand.
Yeah,
shall sound in the deep.
I've had enough of this already.
One last time. Yes.
Oh God. Spare me this, please. This is like
when we draw swords together.
Ugh. just like the style of acting and presentation. It's
fell deeds awake.
There's no
now
subtlety.
The now the ruin and the red gold.
Yeah, everything. Delivered at the peak of. What?
Yes, my. This is at the climax of the battle that's been going on for several days at this castle.
I don't give a fuck, but it's just loud and ugly and stupid.
Well, it's war.
It's whatever. All right, so all he's dead?
Yes.
How old was he?
He was 79.
Oh, okay, a little less off.
Yes, he survived by his son and daughter.
Okay.
So
that's it. That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole segment.
Yeah, that's the whole segment.
All right. Good, good, good.
So to Bernard Hill, we say,
who the fuck are you?
Rest in peace, Bernard Hill. You're such a dick. We now move on to our next segment. Today in history. And today in history, this Broadway show opened on May 8th, 1962. Music by Stephen Sondheim. Book by Bert Sheevlove and Larry Gelbart. Directed by George Abbott.
A funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
Perhaps you'd like to hear a little cut from it.
I'd love to. What are you going to play?
The opening number, of course. Oh.
Okay, alright. Well, they're all pretty good.
Something familiar, something peculiar, something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Something appealing, something appalling, something for everyone, a comedy tonight.
The story goes that Jerry Robbins came in and saved the show.
Yes.
By insisting on a new number to open it.
That is absolutely correct.
And then staging. Or not insisting, but advising that they needed a new number.
They needed a whole new number for the opening.
For the opening.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And it worked.
That's what, of course that, it worked.
That really did. It opens the show perfectly.
Yeah.
Here's another great number from the show.
Maids like me, I'm neat.
I like maids.
I like maids.
They're neat.
Something no household should be without. Everybody ought to have a maid.
Everybody ought to have a maid.
Everybody ought to have a working girl. Everybody ought to have a lurking girl to put around the house. Everybody ought to have a maid.
Everybody ought to have a maid.
Everybody ought to have a menial. Consistently congenial. And quieter than a mouse.
It's just so smart.
It's
just...
Stephen Sondheim. This is his first musical, really.
Well, first time he wrote the music.
Yeah, we did the music and lyrics, you know?
And it's weird because it's hard to put music in a farce. And this is because farces rely on the tempo.
Yeah.
And nothing slows down tempo faster than a song.
Exactly. But his songs play into it.
They're all very... It's act one heavy.
Oh, yeah. Very
music
much
is act one heavy.
You do have the ballads, but you have Zero Mostel playing Pseudolist in this, who's just all over the place, even during the whole love song,
right.
You know?
Yeah, but yeah, it worked.
Yes, it does. And it won 6 Tony Awards when it was up at the time, winning 4, among other things, Best Musical, Best Author, Best Performance by a Leading Actor, Zero Mostel, and Best Director. It ran for 964 performances.
And no awards for the music.
No, he. I don't think he was even nominated at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. It was his first one, you know. They're like, you're young, you're an upstart.
No.
You can wait.
First of all, forgetting the Hammerstein Association altogether, his last 2 professional jobs were West Side Story.
Yes, this is
and
true.
And Gypsy.
Yes.
So the guy, this is not some guy coming from like Bohunk.
Yeah, he's just a lyricist.
He's just, yeah. Yeah.
He just write words. What do you know about music? Yeah, so that happened today back in 1962.
That's that's something else, 1962.
Yes, it is. We now move on to our next segment.
What day is it? Could you please tell me? What day is it? I'm confused, you see?
Yes, it's time for What Day Is It?
Pancakes.
No.
It's the National Day of the Lace-Up Corset.
No, but I like that.
It's the day of Belgian independence.
No. Today is National Have a Coke Day.
Have a Coke.
Because back on May 8th, 1886, it went on sale for the first time as a tonic during the temperance movement.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. In 1944, it manufactured its 1 billionth gallon of Coca-Cola on July 12th.
In 1944. A billion gallons by 1944.
Yep. Right, go ahead. And in 1955 is when it produced its first cans of Coke.
This is why we have a water shortage.
It's a Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola.
It's all their fault.
Yeah. Fucking shit is everywhere.
Yes, it is. I don't drink it anymore.
No, but it's got to be one of the most successful, like, consumer products.
Oh, or yeah. Brand name. Without a doubt. Yeah. It's sold all over the world. Do you know what the name refers to?
Yes. Cocaine and the coca bean.
Well, it was made from coca leaves.
Yes.
And also cola nuts.
Cola nuts.
The coca leaves were removed in 1903.
Yeah.
So they stopped using them then. But, I don't know if you remember, there was an ad campaign that was pretty ubiquitous all over the world. I'd play it for you now.
Change the world.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Dun, 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 dun. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
That was in 1971.
And it never ended. I remember it, like, Christmas versions of it.
It was a big hit song.
It was fucking every, and it was nonstop.
Yeah. It was contagious, the song.
Yeah. It was everywhere.
It was everywhere. Yeah. Well, that's what helped put Coca-Cola on the map.
No, Coca-Cola well on the map before this. They sold a billion gallons 40 years before they recorded that stupid song.
Yeah.
Put Coke on the map. Put the song on the map is what Coca-Cola did.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Okay. But that's not what also today is.
Uh-oh.
Today is also Victory in Europe Day.
Okay.
It's when on May 8th, 1945, the Act of Military Surrender was signed by military representatives of the United States, the Soviet Union, the United Kingdom, France, and Germany.
Okay.
This ended the war officially, except for Japan's surrender, which did not occur until August 15th later that year.
It takes time to get from Europe to Japan.
Yes, it does.
So Japan's going to have to wait. We'll go settle everybody else in Europe and Japan. We'll get to you.
Which they did.
Which they did. Of course they did.
But it is estimated in the whole war, between 70 to 85 million people died. Civilian deaths directly caused by the war were 50 to 56 million, plus 19 to 28 million who died from disease and famine.
This is World War II?
Yep. Between 11 to 17 million people died as a result of Hitler's racist policies, including 6 million Jews. The Soviet Union lost the most people, with 26.6 million, followed by China with 15 to 20 million.
That's insane.
Right? The USA lost 419,000.
That's crazy.
Right?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And for what?
Because
I'm asking,
well, Germany and Japan going for domination of the world. That was why.
Okay.
Didn't say it was a good reason.
It's a stupid reason.
Yeah, it obviously failed. Mm. It came close to going the other way.
Yeah, but how many million people died?
like you said, between 70 and 85 million altogether.
That's insane. Seventy-five million people.
Well, from a war that lasted, what, 6 years almost? Right?
I don't know.
Yeah, 39 to 45
I think I was in school that time.
Oh, you're that old, huh? But as a result of the war, Germany was divided initially into separate zones between the Allied powers, and then later between East Germany and West Germany. It also became the beginning of the Iron Curtain, with all the countries that the Soviet Union controlled in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Then the U.S. occupied Japan for quite a long time before it turned it over as a democratic country.
Well, yeah.
And the communists took over China. They continued their civil war after World War II ended.
And they're doing good over there.
Well, they won, the communists.
Yeah, they're doing good. They got China, they got Russia.
And it also led to the creation of the United Nations.
Right, you had to have them after that.
And it also led to the partition of Palestine and the creation of Israel.
Israel, right, right, right.
And the USA emerged as the number one world superpower at the time. So that's the legacy of World War II.
And why are we talking about it?
Because today is Victory in Europe Day.
And they're talking about the victory of World War II specifically?
Well, about the victory over Germany on this day, because that's when the Act of Surrender was signed by Germany and the Allied powers.
It just seems kind of... okay.
What?
Nothing. They're just... I have a couple of different... aren't there enough days dedicated to this war in that location? And it seems kind of cunty to, like, call it Victory in Europe Day.
Well, that's what it was.
Yeah, except Germany was part of Europe.
Yes, it was. But it controlled a lot of Europe.
And it didn't win. It wasn't...
Ultimately, it lost.
It was kind of... I think it's kind of shitty to call it Victory in Europe Day, knowing that the victory was over a European country. That's all I'm saying.
It was a victory over a totalitarian dictatorial government.
So call it Victory over Totalitarian Victorian Governments Day.
No, it was called Victory over Europe Day. Okay. The same way they have VJ Day. Was it?
That's what I'm saying. Victory aren't there enough Japan of Day. Those days? Oh, okay. So there's... okay.
Okay.
It's just... I'm sick of it.
What are you sick of?
Days.
Days?
Yeah, days. Anniversaries.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Victory in Europe. I've never heard of such a thing.
It's been celebrated since 1945.
But yeah, well, I haven't been invited to any of the parties.
Obviously not.
All right. What's next?
We now move on to our next segment, wherein we turn our head and cough. Oh, that was very succinct.
Take a hint.
That's someone like you to be succinct.
Yes, it is. Take a hint.
Well, this is not so much health, but health-related.
Okay.
A study that was funded by the International Olympic Committee and conducted at the University of Brighton in England, that was published in April, found that trans women are less like cisgender men than many would think. The participants of the study were 23 trans women, 21 cisgender women, 19 cisgender men, and 12 trans men. They were all involved in competitive sports and did physical training at least 3 times a week.
Can I save you a little bit for you?
Yes.
This is, like, so duh. Like, are you going to tell me that you're going to tell me that
okay. Can I finish?
Yeah.
Can I finish, please?
Yeah, you can finish, because it's so... Go ahead.
Now, all the trans women in the study had been on medication to suppress the testosterone for at least a year and were taking estrogen. And the study found that the trans women in the study had a greater hand grip strength than cisgender women, but they had lesser jumping ability than both cisgender women and cisgender men, plus lower lung function and cardiovascular fitness than cisgender women. But the study also concludes that this is only a preliminary study, should not be taken as conclusive, and that more long-term studies in this area need to be conducted. But in the meantime, we shouldn't be so quick to initiate bans and eligibility exclusions.
I have no idea what you just said.
They're saying they shouldn't be...
I'm not asking for you to explain it. What I'm, that whole thing about 20% more hand strength than cisgendered men, women, and the children, and this 20% and the less than, and the, I need a pencil?
It's not what I said. I said a study found that trans women had greater hand grip strength.
You're going to say it again,
than cisgender women.
Right. And then you went on to like three other
examples. I didn't mention any percentages. That's all I said.
Okay.
And then when I went on to say that transgender women had lesser jumping ability than both cis women and cis men.
Yeah, I want to kill you right now.
And they also
have...
You
see how his eyes closed? You see how that...
What is so difficult about that to understand?
You have too many people into too many different categories making comparisons about too many different things, and I don't know who I'm supposed to be rooting for. I don't give a fuck no more. Let's go back to petting the dogs.
You're a dick tonight.
It's okay. It's my turn.
Oh, it's your turn. Okay, Rose.
That's right.
Curtain up.
Curtain up.
Light the lights.
What's next?
Next. What is next?
We just did dead people. What's his name?
That was a while ago.
Oh, what day is it?
We did that a while ago, too.
Oh, this is the health thing. I remember
coughing. That's what we just did.
I remember coughing. So then we're done with the health thing, and then where do we go after health?
Now we're going to take a look into my briefs.
Oh, this poor woman.
Yes. And first, we're going to stop at Louisiana.
Oh, good.
Because in Louisiana, what happened was about 2 years ago, a federal judge ruled that Louisiana's congressional map was unconstitutional.
What a surprise.
As the population of Louisiana was one-third black, but only one of the districts was designed to allow one black representative, while the other five congressional representatives were all white. And the federal court said, you have to redraw this map.
See, I don't understand.
So, they redrew the map, but then another federal court said that this new map was unconstitutional, which leaves the state right now without a congressional map 6 months before the election.
Good.
Now, how did this all come up? Because people brought a suit. White people brought a suit saying that their personal dignity had been injured because the new map with two black majority districts racially stigmatized, stereotyped, and maligned them, the white people.
Good. That should have been the verdict.
Good. Why?
Because fuck them.
Fuck who?
The white people.
Yes, but this court is now saying otherwise.
Well, fuck them too, then. Why are congressional districts drawn in order to assure one party a winner in the first place?
Because it's called gerrymandering.
Yes.
Why and the Supreme Court basically allows it now.
Yeah, it shouldn't be allowed.
Well, anyway, the original black parties in this case... have now filed an emergency petition with the Supreme Court to intervene.
The fact that that petition from those people who feel like their innards were mangled because we're going to have an additional black person representing them in Congress. How did that lawsuit get past the clerk? Like, how does a lawyer pick that up? How does an attorney say, yeah, here's a good idea. Let's do this. And then how does it get to the Supreme Court of the state? Right?
Well, no, usually the top court of the state is the Court of Appeals.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
It gets that far.
Yes.
That argument.
Yes. But in this case, these were all happened in federal court, these lawsuits, not in state court.
But isn't that where congressional districts are governed from?
Well,
it's a federal thing.
It's a federal law. But okay. the state legislature is responsible for setting the districts.
Okay. I don't know. The whole thing is shady and fucked up to me. And if you draw a district knowing, this is going to be a black district, and this is going to be a black district, and this is going to be... That's fucked up. I think it's fucked up. Fucked up.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't you think so? Well, you don't think so.
Well, what they're saying is what the original black petitioners were saying, that the congressional map, as it was originally drawn, was in violation of the Voting Rights Act.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
Well, it still exists, but most of its legs have been knocked out by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah. Those fucking guys.
Yeah. So this is going to end up before the Supreme Court now, and we'll see what happens.
And it's because they got their feelings hurt. The white people got their feelings hurt because they were going to add a black guy or maybe a black woman.
White people, they are.
We just suck.
Me too. Yes, we can at times.
What's next?
What's next are the continuing trials of Donald Trump.
Well, then none of them are continuing.
That's the news this week. First, the Judge Cannon, who's overlooking the classified documents trial, has now postponed indefinitely the trial because she still has to decide on motions which she has been sitting on this whole time. So she's basically backed up her own calendar on this case.
On purpose?
Yeah. So she now can claim an indefinite postponement.
The problem is, like I learned an hour ago watching the news, there's no check on this bitch. She got no boss. She's one of three people. Yeah. So you're fucked. It's not going to happen until after the election.
If it happens at all.
But it can't happen with this judge. If you prove over and over and over again that you're biased
and incompetent,
well, incompetent is still sort of a subjective.
She had no trial experience before this case.
The point was she was sitting on the bench that the trial was going to be assigned to, and she was one of three judges who were going to be assigned this trial.
And she got it.
So. Whether or not she's incompetent or has any experience doesn't matter, evidently.
Obviously not.
Because
Trump nominated for the position.
So you got what you got, and this bitch pushed it back, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. And so that's it.
Well, I ain't the only bad news. You remember back when in the Georgia case... Which is about the election subversion case with the fake electors.
What they're doing to this woman. Go ahead.
And Fannie Willis, you know, they had a whole hearing determine whether she was still allowed to handle the case or whatever, right. Or to preside over at her office, and they said yes. Well, now the Georgia Court of Appeals is allowing Trump to appeal that decision.
Right.
So that diminishes the chance that trial is going to that case is going to go to trial before the election.
Right, because before we can decide if Fannie Willis is able to, before Fannie Willis can actually go ahead and execute this case, they have to now decide whether or not she can.
Yeah.
And why can't she?
Because of her relationship with the prosecutor that she appointed to the case.
It's still that.
Yep.
All right. It's crazy.
So he's not going to face trial.
No, this is it. This one here is it.
It's this only further tarnishes people's lack, or just further increases people's lack of respect for the judiciary in this country.
Well, if the judiciary...
Because obviously it works for people in the top 1% or 2%, but it doesn't work for anybody else.
And that's painfully obvious. And if the judiciary wants the respect of the people, it's going to have to change. Because this is putting a spotlight on the two justice systems like nothing else ever has.
Yeah. We now move on to our next segment. Yes, it's time for the Week in Fascism.
That's good theme music for you.
Yeah, Stephen just brought in cookies for us.
But if every room he walked into, that sound effect played. What are we talking about, fascism?
The Week in Fascism. We're going to talk about a poll that was taken by the Maris Company with NPR and PBS.
Okay, first I thought you were talking about like a flagpole.
No, 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 a poll as in a survey.
Yes, a survey. Okay.
Yes.
By who?
Conducted by the Maris Company, a Maris. Professional polling company, in conjunction with NPR and PBS.
Isn't Maris the college?
Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it's a college. I don't know.
Okay.
But, oh, I know. It's called Maris.
Maris.
But anyway, they did a sampling of voters and asked them their top concerns in this election. And the number one concern at 31% was the rise of fascism and extremism. Among Democrats, it was 47%. Among independents, it was 32%. Among Republicans, it was at 15%.
Well, they're not worried about it.
The Republicans' top concern was a lack of values.
Which is hysterical.
It's like, what values are you talking about?
That's what makes it hysterical.
This goes back to the whole family values shtick they pulled back in the 90s.
Well, they never really let that go.
No, obviously not.
It was Reagan who let that happen.
Oh, of course.
This whole where we are now is on Reagan.
It's on Reagan?
It's on Reagan. It really is.
Why do you think it's on Reagan?
Who was the Republican before Reagan?
The last Republican president?
Before Reagan.
Before Reagan. I got to think back now.
Carter? Him. Carter was... It was Nixon.
It was Ford. It was Ford. Ford right. was the last one.
Okay.
And he lost to Carter.
He lost to Carter, who lost to Reagan. Who let the religious crazies...
Yes.
...run loose in the House.
Yes, he did.
He did things like cut all support for... a mental illness. That's why there are no more mental hospitals and no more state-run mental hospitals. There are no institutions to put people with these things. And that's why they're on the streets and they call 911 on these people instead of giving them. So that's on Reagan. And this, the whole trickle-down economics bullshit, that's on Reagan.
Yep.
So where we are now is Reagan's fault. Trump is a direct result. Reagan, Bush, stupider Bush, Trump. Right? That's how it went.
The only difference is I think Reagan would support aid to Ukraine.
Yeah. He was horrified by Russia.
Yeah.
He was very anti-Russian. Yeah. So, but that's politics.
That'd values, be like the only difference.
Yeah. But the values are all the same.
Yeah.
Kick it up, kick it up, kick it up. Bastards.
I know. Anyway, so that was it for the Week in Fascism.
Well, that was
succinct.
What's the fourth? It was the fourth trial. There's Florida is the record,
the classified documents.
Classified documents.
Georgia is the fake electors. The
fake electors. New York is the Stormy Daniels.
Yep, and then you have the fourth case for
what was the fourth?
Isn't case? That for January 6th?
January 6th. Where is that happening, that case? Where has that case been brought?
I'm assuming in federal court in D.C.
In D.C. That's what Jack Smith is working on.
Yes. Well, I think he's been working on that and the classified documents case.
Yeah, I think so, too. Isn't the reason the classified documents case in Florida because of Jack Smith?
Well, because the alleged crime
happened in Florida. But... something about he was able to bring the case. Oh, because it happened to the U.S. government, he was able to bring the case in D.C. if he wanted to.
Right. But he chose to have it brought in Florida since that's where the crime happened.
The crime happened, and it makes perfect sense, but it bit him in the ass.
But this judge, it sure did. Yeah. That's for damn sure.
All right, where are we?
We now move on to our next segment.
We're watching you.
therefore we like to watch.
All right, so let's just jump.
We're going to jump right into it because we both watched Baby Reindeer this past week.
Yeah.
And what did you think, Tommy?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was amazing.
It was really cool. She was stunning.
The actress who played that part.
Martha, the girl who played Martha, was freaking astounding.
Yeah.
I loved the last couple of minutes of that movie when he walks into the pub.
Oh, spoiler alert. We're going to be discussing aspects of the show, which are going to be spoilers. And for those of you who haven't watched it, you may want to skip the next 5 minutes or so.
And sits down and orders a drink and can't pay for it.
Yeah.
He gets up, I got to go pay for it.
It's like everything came full circle.
Everything's back to where I started. The guy, the bartender, sort of looked like the abuser from episode 4. And I was left thinking, does this mean that Donnie now becomes Martha to this guy?
No, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think that was going to happen.
And then the screen went white.
Yeah.
Or black.
I just brought everything full circle.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It was weird.
His character, because he was the writer, actor himself, who basically played himself in this, drove me crazy at times because he was such a passive character. Anything he did was the wrong thing to do. Yeah. And then you find out why he is the way he is, because he was raped by this writer.
Who people can identify, like real life people know who this guy is.
This guy did a lot of drugs with him, and while he was all drugged up, he was basically raped by this guy. And that's what really drove me near the end, when he went back to visit the writer. Yeah. And he acted so passive in there, and the writer offered him a job, and he said yes. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
He's taking a job. Like, I don't know.
How could you take a job from the guy who raped you?
There's a similar argument in Doubt. Are you sacrificing your son's mental health for his education?
Yeah.
He went back to somebody who abused him.
It just made no sense why he went back in the first place, and then the way he just handled the whole situation, I just was confounded by it.
Okay. I was much less confounded by that than by, like, he was trying to do the right thing.
But he never did. He always did the wrong thing.
Well, no, he did the right thing. It just always backed up on him. Like, he was being
nice. He stalled the girl. He followed her home and spied on her through her window.
He did. But you make it sound worse than it was.
I know.
He really...
You got to see it in the whole context of everything.
Right, because in context, this is now somebody who has been following him.
Yeah.
Who has imposed herself into his life.
Yes.
So he sees her random out in the street and says, what the fuck is with this? Where does she live? Like, what the fuck? Is she who she says she is? Is she the lawyer? Does she have all the money? Is she who she says she is? I'm going to follow her home and see where she goes. And she goes to this very nondescript, very not what she says it is, home.
Yeah.
And catches him looking through her window. He wasn't looking through her window masturbating. He was looking through her window trying to catch his, like, proof of what she had been saying.
Yes. Okay.
So it's the result is the same, but in this instance, I think the why was he standing outside that window matters. Even if it is a cunt-tears of a description, it matters.
And I'll tell you, that whole monologue he gives near the end.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was like half the episode.
That was amazing.
That was crazy.
That really was.
It was. The whole thing was just crazy.
It really was. It was nutty. It was unreal. So we definitely recommend watching this.
Yeah, it was really well done. It was well photographed. It looked like a horror movie.
Yeah, that's what it felt like at times. You felt like you were watching a horror movie,
yeah. It was good. It was well done.
Yeah.
It's a play, but it's a one-man play.
Yeah. but then he adapted it for the film.
Right. Which he directed as well, I think.
I don't know if he directed it, but I don't know. But I know he wrote it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, big thumbs up on that.
Yeah, we like that one.
So what else did you watch this week?
More Drag Race.
Of course. More
Trial. Not really. I don't know. Not really much of anything.
No?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to invest time into like six episodes. Like, that's such a commitment. You know, like, I got 6 hours. I don't want to watch something like, and everything is like that. You know what I mean?
Well, they're called series because yeah. They're made up of episodes.
Yeah.
All shows are like that.
I don't want to put in the I'm afraid of the commitment of a 2.5 hour movie. You expect me to, like, no. So, yeah, it's very basic. You know, I stick with what's safe for me. I like
RuPaul and the news.
I like the news. I like things like that. Well, we just talked
Baby
about
Reindeer.
Baby Reindeer, which, you know, was a commitment.
The episodes were fairly quick.
Yeah, it was 7 half-hour episodes.
Yeah.
So that was like the half-hour episodes, and there being like less than 8 of them.
Right.
Made a difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was quick enough for you.
Yeah.
Mr. Attention Deficit.
What did you watch?
We watched, Stephen and I, a documentary on Hulu called The Contestants.
Okay.
It took place in like 1998 over in Japan.
I think I've heard of this.
Where I guess they're known for having these game shows.
Insane.
Where people undergo tests of physical endurance.
Yeah, they're crazy.
So they set up this guy, but basically they have like they call in these group of guys. They do like a raffle. The one guy wins.
Okay.
He was an aspiring comedian or whatever, and he wins. They take him blindfolded, drive him somewhere, still blindfolded the whole time. They take him to this apartment. No bed or anything. There's a bathroom. There's an oven. They tell him to take off all his clothes. He has no clothes, no food, but there are all these magazines in the room. So the object is he has to win the sweepstake prizes in the magazines.
To get out of the room.
In order to get out of the room. He has to get 1,000,000 yen in prizes in order to get out of the room. He was there for 12 months when he finally did it. And while they were doing it, number one, they didn't tell him that they were broadcasting this.
Oh, God.
So they were broadcasting it like once a week on TV. Then they started live streaming it.
Oh, my God.
He does it for like 12 months. They let him out for the day. He goes to a park, amusement park. He has a meal somewhere. Then they take him blindfolded to Korea, put him in an apartment in there. Tell him he has to get a certain amount of Korean money in sweepstake prizes in order to get out of there. They don't lock the room. He can leave at any time. He stays for the total of 15 months.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. This was crazy. I couldn't believe that this is what they were watching. This guy slowly losing his mind in this room. It was unbelievable.
Filling out forms to send in the mail.
Yeah.
Sweepstakes.
It was the aftermath of all this. After he gets out and everything, he starts becoming a rescue worker. He's on a mountain climb up to Everest, and an earthquake happens. He takes part in the rescue efforts there. When Fukushima happens, he takes part in the rescue efforts there.
Okay.
So he became known for doing all this rescue work then.
All right.
Really bizarre documentary.
The descendant?
The contestant.
Contestant.
Yeah. So that was really, that was another odd one, to say the least.
I'd say, yeah.
Then, lastly, we watched a movie that you watched called The Zone of Interest.
Oh, that was fucked up too.
Yeah, it won the Foreign Film Oscar this past year. And that was a really disturbing film.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
because it's all about the commandant of Auschwitz and his family living in this house and garden area adjacent to the camp.
The wall, they're on one side of the wall.
Yeah,
and their garden is up against the wall of the outside wall of Auschwitz. That if you look up and it's lovely, you know, you look up and through the trees are nice and you see the barbed wire on the. I mean, it was a.
And what it shows is, like, the ordinary monotony of a day of this family in this house. And in the background, you hear the noises from the camp.
Yeah.
The gunshots. The dogs.
Subtle.
The screaming. At nighttime, when they have the crematorium going, you see the orange light from the fires or whatever. From the pits.
It couldn't have smelled good.
And the way this family just treated it like... It was nothing.
Yeah, they just did their life.
Just part of the day.
Yeah.
I remember the one part where the commandant, his name was Hess or whatever, and they were planning this operation where they were going to be deporting like a couple hundred thousand Hungarian Jews to Auschwitz to be exterminated. And they named it after him, and he was so excited he called his wife in the middle of the night to let her know. Or how the one point where she talks about how she squeezed out a tube of toothpaste and a diamond came out. Because they're using all the stuff that belonged to the Jews who came to Auschwitz.
Right.
And they just treat it matter-of-factly.
Yeah, well, that's what it was.
It was... It's a powerful film.
And it's quiet.
Yeah.
And the
there's no, like, drama, you know, with a beginning, ending, and... Resolution.
It's, by the time you realize what you're hearing, you're so sucked into like the mundane of their life, and you hear the soundtrack becomes the star. Like
the sound design. I think it won the Oscar for that as well.
It should have because it was so effective.
And even the part where they're planning on transferring him somewhere else, and the wife. Wants to stay at the house with the kids.
Right. She don't want to leave.
She don't want to leave.
Why should she leave? How many kids did they have? Three or something?
Four kids.
All right. Pack up. I got to go. No, you go.
We'll stay here in the house next to the concentration camp.
Next to the concentration camp. I don't know that they called it. What did they call it?
I'm not sure. I don't really know.
Correction camp or...
Detention camp. I don't know. But anyway, we saw that on HBO, on Max. So, definitely I recommend that.
I must have bought that. Because...
You saw it like right after the Oscars, I remember. But now I saw it for free on HBO, on Hulu.
Okay. I don't have HBO attached to my Hulu. Oh. I don't have HBO at all.
Not at all. That not sucks. At all.
I'm poor. Go ahead.
We now move on to our next segment.
God, Karen, you are so stupid.
Yes, it's time for stupid people.
Tell me this is about what happened today to that bitch from Georgia.
The bitch from Georgia? Marjorie Taylor Greene? Well, I know her move to Ouse Johnson got shot down.
It was... huge. Got shot down. Huge.
Yeah, she's on the outs now with the leadership.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it wasn't going to be that.
No, because this was just more stupidity from the same stupid person from last week.
Who was that?
Kristi Noem, governor of North Dakota or South Dakota.
This bitch can't get out of her own way.
Well, it seems like they revealed more that was in the book. And she wrote in the book, what would I do if I was president on the first day in office in 2025? The first thing I do is make sure Joe Biden's dog was nowhere on the grounds. Commander, say hello to Cricket for me. Then she went on CBS's Face the Nation to defend what she wrote in the book, saying, Joe Biden's dogs attacked 24 Secret Service people. So how many people is enough to be attacked and dangerously hurt before you make a decision on a dog and what to do with it? The host noted that Commander was no longer living in the White House. So she asked Noam if she was suggesting that Biden's dog should be shot. And Noam replied, that's what the president should be held accountable to.
I don't know what that means, though.
But yeah, the president should be held responsible for the dog. But yeah, she's not saying it out loud. But yeah, the dog should be shot. Even in the first book passage, say hello to Cricket for me.
That's, I mean, she threatened to kill the president's dog.
Yeah.
Secret Service come knock on her door someday.
And not to mention her epic meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
Which she didn't want in the book, but somehow got in the book, even though she read the book for the vocal, for the, what do they call them, audio books.
Well, this whole thing, which of course never happened, supposedly she wrote another book before this, and she wanted to put it in there then, and the editor said, no, you're not putting that in this book. So this is obviously an old story that she's been telling.
Okay. She's another whack job.
Obviously.
South Dakota?
Yep. So, Christy Noam, we say...
Stupid! You're so stupid!
Amen to that.
Yeah, really stupid.
Julie Andrews, take us away!
Raindrops on roses, whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
It's time for Five Faves. And today for our Five Faves, in honor of Victory in Europe Day, you were asked to name your five favorite fictional Nazis.
Yes, because what better way to celebrate Victory Day than by picking five of my favorite of the losers?
Yes!
Franz Liebken.
I have him on my list, too.
All right, so
the playwright from the film The Producers.
That's right, Franz Liebken.
I prefer the original with Kenneth Mars.
Most people do.
Yes.
Okay.
So since we both had him on the list, who's number two?
Colonel Klink.
We both have him also.
Because there aren't too many that you could mention that are not, like, offensive.
But yes, did you know that Colonel Klink was played by a Jewish actor, Werner Klemperer?
Did not know that.
Yes, he was Jewish. And John Banner, who played Sergeant Schultz, was Jewish also.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Okay.
And Werner Klemperer said he wouldn't play the role if Klink ever came out on top.
Okay.
He always wanted him to be the loser.
Okay.
So that's what he got. So who's number three on your list?
Hold on. I can't remember his name. Ralph.
Ralph?
Ralph.
From?
The Sound of Music.
Oh, the brother in the one of the kids?
No, they weren't.
Oh, Nazis. the lover boy of what's her name?
Yes.
Okay.
You were 16 going on 17?
Yeah, I hate that song.
Okay.
Oh my God, what an annoying song that
that's
is.
That's who I choose.
That's you choose, Ralph?
Ralph.
Turns into a pussy at the end anyway.
He lets them go.
Yeah, he pussied out. Bad Nazi.
That's how he can be a favorite Nazi. Had he shot them, he would not be eligible to be favorite Nazi. So you have to pick, when you're picking your favorite Nazi, you have to pick the goofballs, the jokesters, the ones, the Nazis that you laugh at.
Oh, well, then you're not going to like my next choice.
I can't wait to hear.
Laurence Olivier in The Marathon Man.
The Marathon Man. Okay, but
you're Dustin Hoffman.
But you're, okay. Okay.
Evil, scary son of a bitch in that movie.
He was
it was
horrible.
Olivier was playing very much against type.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, is it safe?
But that makes okay. I was going to say that's more to glorify him. But you're talking about fictional characters, which means there's always going to be an actor doing a performance, so you can't just...
He gives a great performance.
He gives a great performance.
He really does. I mean, he scares the shit out of
a horrible character.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah. So I had to have him on the list.
All right.
So who's number four for you?
I don't have any more.
You don't have any more?
No, I can't think of any more.
Ah, you're so bad.
With these rules that I felt like I have to follow, how many more funny Nazis? Who did I miss?
Well, I found two more.
Tell me.
In Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Nazi with the black hat and glasses comes to interrogate them.
Oh, okay.
Burns his hand on the amulet.
Yeah, that's the one who's...
Then he melts at the end.
Who looks like the guy from Willy Wonka.
He does?
Yeah, the guy from the rival candy factory who bribes each of the kids.
In the original Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Big black hat, black glasses.
Okay. Yeah, he was a good evil Nazi.
I don't know.
Okay, and then lastly, JoJo's imaginary friend Hitler in Jojo Rabbit.
I never saw it.
You never saw it? Oh, you got to see it. It's a good movie.
I'll put it on my movie homework list.
It's all about this kid and his mother growing up in Germany during World War II. And this kid, he's maybe like 9, 10 years old, maybe. And he's like in the Hitler Youth and stuff. And his imaginary friend is Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
Who's played by the director of the film, Taika Waititi, I can never pronounce his name.
Who?
I can't pronounce his name,
okay,
so.
Okay, well then never mind, some guy.
Yes. But it's a very, very funny portrayal of Hitler, believe it or not.
All right, okay. I seem to remember something about this.
Okay.
I never saw the movie. It would have been me hearing about it.
You would have liked it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I'll probably never see it.
Oh, you should.
Yeah.
You definitely should.
Along with a whole bunch of other movies. Should I see that one or should I see Princess Bride?
Why can't you see them both? And just, why haven't you seen Princess Bride already?
I haven't seen it. It's on my movie homework list.
My God, I can't believe you haven't seen Princess Bride.
Can we continue?
How have you not seen Princess Bride?
By never playing it while I was there.
Shame on you.
Yes. Horrible, horrible, horrible things.
Yes.
There are worse, I'm sure. Movies that I haven't seen.
So do a double feature with Jojo Rabbit then.
Yeah, okay. What's next?
We now move on to our final segment.
Oh. Get off my lawn. Did you hear me? I said get off my lawn now.
Yes, it's time for the Grumpy Old Game Man Gripe of the Week. And what's your gripe this week, Tomas?
I don't know.
You must have one or two.
I have probably several. How about somebody who don't say what they're gonna somebody who don't do what they say they're gonna do?
Okay, you have anyone specific in mind?
Yeah.
Specific example?
Yeah.
Could you give it to us?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't wanna. I could go with any number of Louis things.
Oh.
He is a sweetheart.
Yeah, so how can you gripe about your dog?
Because he attacks hedges.
He Why dives. Does he attack hedges?
Nobody knows. How would I know? He never explained it to me. He just dives head first into hedges.
Are there birds in the hedges?
I think that's how it began. Grabs a branch, starts pulling and snarling like a howling jungle beast. What else?
Have you done anything to discourage this behavior?
But Patrick... never mind. 40-pound dog, I walk on the stand, he just, without warning, without alert, he jumps headfirst into hedges.
Does he do this with all hedges?
No.
Or any particular
specific
ones?
Specific hedges.
Are they in your yard?
Where else would he come across hedges, Patrick?
I don't know. Could be the neighbor's yard.
I could do, I could gripe about the stupidity of my friends. Asking stupid questions all the time about where the fucking hedge would be. There's a bunch I could gripe about.
I think your Louis and the Hedge gripe is sufficient.
Louis and the Hedges?
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck that is. Well, we lived in Deer Park, and he destroyed a tree. It was more like a tree stump, but it was kind of tall and thin, and he just chewed the shit out of this tree.
Oh, no.
He goes after trees. He goes after hedges. And I think it was birds. I think at one point he found birds in hedges. And like I was talking about the pie, the magic pie-giving bush.
Right.
Every bush has a bird, I guess. I don't
know. Maybe you should try, like, putting pepper on the hedges. Maybe that'll discourage the dog.
Then. Oh, God, I wish I could be in the room when you listen back to that suggestion. Picture me with a shaker full of crushed red pepper outside.
I did it with when birds and squirrels were eating some of my plants.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, you know, a couple of plants here and there.
Yes.
If it's not hedges around a retirement community.
Well, you see, attacking the whole long hedge?
It could
be. Was it one particular section?
There are definitely particular sections.
Okay.
But it could happen at any time with any hedge.
Okay.
Because there are hedges that he's attacked and never gone back to.
Now, when you take him out for walks...
Mm-hmm.
That's when it happens. That's when it happens?
Yeah, because that's when he's outside.
Okay. But does he attack hedges aside from the ones that are on your property?
Yes. Yes, he would attack hedges in the neighborhood or trees.
Okay.
And yeah. Yeah, he just, whatever it is. And whatever it is, I don't know what it is. He just, all of a sudden, he's fucking in the hedges snarling with a branch in his mouth pulling.
He's a bird dog.
He's a fucking weirdo.
He has the right owner.
He may be a bird dog.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
So, yeah, we'll go with the unpredictability of the canine psyche.
Okay.
That's my gripe of the week.
Okay.
It can't just be a Louis gripe, because that sounds lame.
Okay.
We've got to blame the whole fucking species.
Well, I got two gripes this week.
Of course you do.
One is the news that I heard that the play 12 Angry Men is being adapted into a musical. And I was like, for God's sake, why?
Because they adapted Anne Frank into a musical.
And why?
Because tap dancing Nazis.
This is not springtime for Hitler we're doing here.
No, we're talking about 12 Angry Men, right? Well,
each of the jurors going to get their own solo?
Well, certainly the top three will.
I mean, come on.
There's not much... It's hard to see them doing...
I know it's going to be a jazz-infused score from what I read.
Who's writing it?
I don't know. I don't remember those details. I was just too disgusted by the whole idea.
It would almost have to be a show full of solos and duets and maybe an occasional trio. There's no chorus numbers.
It can't be. How could there be?
They're all in suits. It's 12 Angry Men.
Yeah.
So it, you know, yeah. It seems limiting in you have so much to write for.
Yeah.
The social issues that the 12 men explore are totally different, and they're epic. But you can't, to tell this story, it boils down to these 12 men in a room, or 13 men in a room.
12.
There's a bailiff, no?
But he's not in the room.
No, but I bet he got a song.
Maybe they'll give him one. Throw a bailiff in, give him a song.
The opening of Act Two. I am the bailiff, and here we go with Act Two. Everybody rise, everybody rise, everybody rise.
Objection sustained. Objection sustained. Objection sustained.
Don't piss off the judge.
Oh my God! Yeah. I think it's a bad idea. But what little do I know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's write a story about this family who lives in Austria and with nuns and Nazis.
I mean, when's the musical version of Judgment at Nuremberg coming out? You know.
Jesus Christ. At least you got Judy Garland in there. I mean, Judgment at Nuremberg, I think it's at least it's a courtroom and not a jury room.
Yes.
So you have you have, and it's a European style thing, so there's more than one judge, and you got a lot of people in the room, and you got a jury, and you got, you know, spectators. At least there, you can do, you know, big choreography. You have a course number.
Oh, God.
SATB.
It's a bad idea.
I'm going to reserve judgment until the I find out who's going to be in it.
Okay.
If Audra's going to be in it?
Well, it's 12 Angry Men. That's, I don't think it's being called 12 Angry Jurors.
No. Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
So it'd be all men. And all white men.
She'll still win. She'll still win. Doesn't matter.
Okay. My second gripe is I can't find delphinium seeds anywhere. I love delphinium. We tried ordering them online. The order never came through. By the time I went to the nursery to look for the seeds, they're all gone. Can't find delphinium seeds. I'm very disappointed.
Bye, bitches! Delphinium seeds.
Yes. Okay. I like delphinium growing in my garden.
They're fine. That's fine.
Beautiful.
That's,
flower.
I refuse to participate in this.
Why?
Because...
Oh!
My chair just collapsed.
Oh, no.
That happens. That has to happen to me more than once.
I'm sure.
When my niece was a baby, very long ago, we were sitting at my mother's dining room table, and I was holding her facing the table. And my chair collapsed, and I fell to the ground, and everybody around the table agreed and laughed and said the same thing, but she didn't. I fell behind her and held her, and she didn't move, but I fell behind her. So they said it was very funny to see her not move, but me drop to the floor while holding her behind her. And I can imagine that would be funny. But
what does this have to do with my failure to find delphinium seeds?
I was trying to throw you a line. Trying to help you get yourself out of that fucking delphinium seed pit you're in.
I'm very disappointed.
You know what? I want to just throw flower seeds. I just want to throw wildflower seeds.
Just throw them?
Just throw them. Yeah, like in front of our door.
Okay.
There's no garden space. You know, there's a little bit of dirt in between each doorway, and the people, we happen to have an ornamental pot that has some sort of really thick hedge growing out of it.
Okay.
But I think the guys came and I don't know if they took the whole fucking hedge out because it was like wood.
Yeah.
But they cleared the pot, so there is no... So I'm going to throw some fucking wildflowers up in there, see
what
grows.
You don't have like a balcony?
There's a small balcony, yeah. My sister grows some tomatoes, some what do I want to say, basil.
Cool.
I had a garden once at her house.
Yes, I remember you had the garden.
That was beautiful. I love that garden. I wish I could go back to something like that, but it takes a lot of space, a lot of time.
Yes, it does.
A lot of water.
Well, if you find any delphinium seeds, you let me know.
Okay? Yeah, I thought delphinium was a person. That would be a good drag name.
Delphinium.
Delphinium. All right, I'll look for delphinium seeds if you look for wildflower seeds.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Okay.
What the fuck is a delphinium?
Anyway,
No, I'm serious. What's a delphinium?
It's a very tall flower that grows. I only have one growing in my garden right now.
And it looks like the flowers...
It's like a bluish-purple flower.
Grow out of the stalk?
Yes. Yep, that's exactly it.
Yeah, they're very fancy.
Yes, they're very pretty.
They're very pretty. They're very fancy. I like...
I usually get two blooms a summer.
Peonies.
I also have those in my garden.
You still got those peonies out there?
Yes, I do.
They
haven't come close to blooming yet.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's too soon.
Yeah.
But the bushes are growing nicely.
Okay.
Yes.
It was a year you didn't get them.
Yeah, we just got the bush that didn't bloom.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now they bloom every year.
They bloom every year.
Yep.
Big.
Oh, they're white, big, huge blooms. Right? Pink.
They're pink.
It's like a light pink.
Yeah. I was going to say white with like those pink tips.
Yeah.
Type of thing. But if they're pink, they're pink. I love the... There's on the way, during walking the dog, There's a lavender bush. Lavender? Lavender?
Not oh, lavender. Nice.
Not lavender. It's not lavender.
Lilac?
It's lilac. And my mother had a lilac tree? Bush? What the fuck are they?
To a bush.
Usually
a bush.
They're huge.
Yeah. We have one in the back here.
My mother had one in the corner of her backyard, and every year she would give us clippings to bring to the teacher.
Okay.
When we were in elementary school. And I walk past this huge lilac bush that's just at somebody's house on my route.
Yeah.
Walk in the door and stop. And just stand in it.
And smell
it.
It's a great smell.
Oh, my God. And I hate honeysuckle.
You don't like honeysuckle?
I don't like honeysuckle. Honeysuckle makes me, like, sick. But lilac, oh, my God.
Go with the lilac.
Oh, beautiful. Just beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. What are we talking about?
We are now at the conclusion of this week's episode. Mm-hmm. And I know we usually take off after every 3 weeks, but we are going to be back next week.
Why?
Because we will be off the week after that.
Why?
Because I will be attending Tech Week rehearsals for the play Operation Volkswagen at South Shore Theater Experience.
That sounds like another winner.
It's an original comedy written by resident playwright Christopher
Hackett.
Yes.
Hackett.
He writes very, very funny plays.
All right. Okay, so next week.
So we'll be back here next week.
Next week.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have. Yeah, okay.
You sure now?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
I'll call and see.
But you can find all of our episodes at www.grumpyoldgaymenandtheirdogs.com. And you can follow us on Facebook for our daily postings.
I think they sound too scripted.
We do?
Yeah, I don't think there's enough, like, spontaneity.
What would you like to spontaneously do?
Oh, girl.
Combust?
Keep going.
And we want to thank my husband and producer, Stephen Prendergast, for bringing in the cookies that Tommy brought over tonight. And I think that's it. Do you have any final party words for us?
Probably. Bye, bitches. Oh, no, I jumped my cue.
Yes, you did.
Fuck.
So on that note, we'll say, have a good night, have a good week, have a good life, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, bitches.